Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. This is the Joe Starkey Show. Josh Taylor in today for Joe. Been here since 10 with Austin Bechtold on the ones and twos. News of the day. Austin just talked about it in case you missed fan headlines. Paul Skeens, he is your starter for the National League in the MLB All-Star Game coming up next Tuesday. And to help us talk about that, we can talk about his performance from yesterday and a bunch of other things Pirates related. Former Pirate pitcher, current Bucco analyst, Bob Walk joins us right now on 93.7 The Fan. And Bob Walk brought to you by Gutter Helmet. For a limited time, enjoy up to 35% off Gutter Helmet. No money down or payments for 1 year. Conditions apply. Bob, thanks for joining us. Appreciate the time.
Oh, sure, Josh.
We got to talk about Paul Skeens. This is the story of the day. It's probably the story around baseball. 11 starts, Bob. He gets to start the All-Star game. The last rookie that started the All-Star game, Hideo Nomo, in 1995. That's the last time I remember there being this much excitement around a rookie pitcher going into the All-Star game. But you look at Paul Skeens, you look at what he's done, you see this opportunity. What does it say to you?
Well, this is what the All-Star game is all about. It's, the fans. This is a game for the fans. And who do they want to see? They want to see Skeens. I mean, he obviously is a big story here in Pittsburgh. We talk about it every single day during the games and, on the talk radio shows, he's always one of the topics. But he's more than that. He's a national baseball celebrity. Everywhere you go, you're going to be asked about him. You know, what's he like? What kind of guy he is? All this kind of stuff. It's all over. So it's just, I think, natural that with what he has been doing, especially looking at his last start, he starts the All-Star game. He right now is the best pitcher in the National League. I don't think anybody would make a much of an argument that he's not. Now, the only argument you can say, well, he's only been doing it for, 11 games now, 10 games, whatever it is. And that's the only argument you can make. And really, when you talk about the All-Star game, I'm not sure that that's going to hold a lot of water because, like I said, this is about the fans. Who the fans want to enjoy watching during this game with stars versus stars. Skeens, I'm sure, is the pick everywhere around the country.
Bob, we talked about this for a while, too, about the excitement around the All-Star game. And Austin and I were talking about it. He said this is probably the first All-Star game he's seen where he's seen this much excitement surrounding it. For me, I remember Pedro Martinez in 99 striking out 5 out of the 6 batters he faced in 2 innings. Then I think about Hideo Nomo in 1995. But you were selected for one in 1988. From the player's perspective, what was the difference then as far as the excitement surrounding the game that might not be the same now?
I think that it was very exciting for, depending on what players you were talking about. For guys like me that, coming for their first time, maybe second time, the excitement was huge. I mean, I can remember talking and telling people that you know, I felt like I was walking onto a big league field for the first time all over again. It was like my rookie year. That's the way that I felt. But there was a lot of guys that had been out there year after year after year, and I'm sure to them it was like, you know, okay, let's do this and, you know, get home for at least one day off. Back then you didn't get 4 days off. You got 3 days off. So that for the guys that had to do it year after year, you know, it was a little bit of a pain for them. They missed those 3 days off, which were huge. But, you know, that for guys like me, the excitement was, you know, through the roof. And, you know, you had those butterflies in your stomach just like you did the first time you were out there.
Former Pirate pitcher, current Bucco analyst Bob Walk joining me on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Now, a little bit more discussion about Paul Skeens here, because I want to get into yesterday, starting what we saw him do. Seven innings, no hit ball, walked a guy, hit a batter, but did not allow a run. Retired 16 guys in a row, pulled after seven innings with 99 pitches. First question, what did you see out of that performance yesterday, as far, especially as the game went on? Second question is, what would your decision have been after that seventh inning?
Well, I think that what we've seen from him a lot this year, and not every game, but a lot of the games that he's pitched, as the game goes along, he seems to get better, get more efficient. The hitters are at a disadvantage, you know, when he's seen them a couple of times. You know, people always talk about the other way around, like, oh, okay, you know, third time through the lineup, we got to change pitchers because now the hitters have seen him. Well, with him, it works the opposite. You know, he has seen the hitters now, and now he seems to get better. Obviously, when I played, you didn't get taken out of a game. To answer your second question, you didn't get taken out of a game when you're throwing a no-hitter. So, you know, that's my point of view from my era that I participated in. Now, is this...
We might have lost Walkie. We'll try to get Walkie back on the line here, because he was on a roll there talking about some of the stuff we've seen out of Paul Skeens, and it is worth mentioning that.
But
there we go.
Nowadays, not too many.
You mentioned Paul Skeens getting stronger as the game went along. I mentioned this earlier in the show. One guy I think of remotely recently was Justin Verlander. He was a guy who can go in the ninth inning, and after throwing 100 pitches, he could still throw a 98-mile-an-hour fastball and still have something left in the tank. Who are some pitchers that you remember seeing over the years that could do that same thing, that could just continue to, you know, get stronger as the game went on?
Well, the only guy that I remember that would do that in that way is Verlander himself. And I can remember the first time I saw him, I was told, now, he won't be real impressive early on, but at the end of the game, you know, he'll be throwing 98 to 100 miles an hour. And it was just like that. I mean, I looked at the radar gun, and there, you know, the radar, they were actually using radar guns back when he was first starting. And he would start off, like, I was watching, he'd be 94, 95, and I'm like, okay, he's not all that impressive. A lot of guys throw this. Sure enough, by the end of the game, he's touching 100. And he's, you know, throwing over 100 pitches. So he not only got stronger, but his velocity would build as the game goes along. I've never seen anybody really like that, where they would build on their velocity. I've seen guys that would stay strong throughout the game, you know, like a Steve Carlton, you know, people like that. You know, they'd start off pretty strong and it'd be eighth, ninth inning and there's no change, so they're still wiping people out. So, you know, that's the kind of picture I think I see from Skeens, because I mean, he'll strike out the side and hit 100 in the first inning, but just like, I think it was about three starts ago, his last pitch of the game was 102. The last pitch he threw was 102. So he'll start strong and he'll stay velocity wise all the way, you know, through 100 pitches with no problem. I mean, he is a big horse. You know, I don't know if you've spent much time standing next to him, but he's a specimen, and he works out there on the mound just like he looks.
Bob, I want to shift gears from the mound to the plate because, yes, Paul Skenes is going to start the All-Star game, but there's another Pirate going in the person of Brian Reynolds, and Brian Reynolds equally is deserving. And since the month, since just the beginning of June, hitting 320, 970 OPS, 10 home runs, just we've seen him since that calendar turn from May to June, just him completely up his game. And he goes into July, he continues to maintain it. Just what have you seen from Brian Reynolds that has allowed him to get from where he started, you know, just 6 weeks ago when he was hitting only 249 to get to this point where he's touching 280?
I really don't see a whole lot with him, to be honest with you. I mean, he is so consistent all the time. He's been our best player for a long time now. At the end of the year, you look at his numbers, they're always pretty much the same. He's incredibly dependable. And he doesn't change, you know, he's not emotional out there. He doesn't change whether he's hitting 240 or 320. You're not going to see anything different. You're going to see somebody that plays hard every single day. He's not somebody, I mean, how many times do you see somebody hit a ball out toward the fence and they think it's a home run, and then they have to hustle to get into second base? They almost get thrown out. Mm. You know, we see that in baseball, even though with some of our own players a lot. You don't see that with him. He's hustling all the way and occasionally turns a double into a triple. That's the way he plays the game. And that's why when the balls start falling for him and he starts getting into a groove up there with the bat, which happens two or three times during the season, because he's always consistent in the way he plays, the numbers jump even higher than they do for other guys. He's so consistent with his effort. Everything he does is the same. I've been kidding around because people have been asking me this question. We talk about it on the air. I say, really, what's happened is when he changed to his walk-up music for, I want beer for my horses. That's when it changed for him. Since that point, his OPS has been over 800, and he's hitting like about 310 since then. So I say it's the song. How's that?
I'll take that as an answer. I'll definitely take that. One more before we let you go, Walkie. We've talked about Paul Skenes. We've talked about Brian Reynolds. These are the two bona fide all-stars on this game. I can make the argument that Mitch Keller is a guy that's deserving as well. Is there a third guy that you look at right now going into the second half of the season? I know there's still a series to be played in Chicago, but going into the second half of the season, is there a third or fourth player that you think can maybe find another level to maybe push this team over the hump?
Well, I got my fingers crossed on a bunch of guys. Sawinski is coming into this year had hit what, like 48 home runs or something in his first two seasons, and a lot of that he wasn't even like the everyday player, especially in his first year. So I really had great hopes for him as a home run hitter this year. Hopefully, he could still turn out to be that guy the last couple of months, because we've started all year. We've talked about we need offense. We need offense. We're wasting this great pitching. And now the offense, you've seen some games where they've really come together and put up some nice numbers. And I think the thought of the offense now needs to be it has to be more consistent. We're still having these games where we don't do anything on – like last night, Skenes. When Skenes we won that game 1-0. It could have got away from us in the eighth inning there. Holderman didn't have his best game out there, and it looked like we might be a problem. We could have lost that game because the offense really didn't do a whole lot. So we need some more consistency from our offense. You know, Sawinski coming around and hitting home runs like he had the first couple of years. Hayes. You know, Hayes really hasn't been the offensive player that we expected. Last 2 months of last year, he looked like he was becoming a guy that can really do a great job in the middle of the lineup and carry a team for a month or two when he got hot. So that's, something that we can maybe hope for. And let's say two guys. Let's say Sawinski and Hayes both get hot. And put that along with what Rowdy has done.
Yes.
If they do what he did, now we got an offense that can really, help out and on a consistent everyday basis and help this great pitching we're getting and get us to the playoffs. You know, with great start, we got three really good starting pitchers. When you talk about, you throw Jones into this mix, he's on the IL right now. If you got three hot pitchers and you go, guys that can dominate and beat good teams, you got three of those guys and you get into the postseason, into that tournament, who knows how far you can go? Well, we got to get there. We got to get the offense consistent.
Great stuff, Bob. As always, we appreciate it. Thanks again. Enjoy the weekend.
Thanks, Josh. Talk to you later.
Bob Walk.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. This is the Joe Starkey Show. Josh Taylor in today for Joe. Got a lot of feedback from you guys online on Twitter, and it's been awesome. A lot of great responses just from the show today, callers calling in, and I've been asking the question, when was the last time you were this excited about watching an MLB All-Star game? Got a couple of responses. Jason in Slippery Rock says, I haven't been this excited for a Pirate in the All-Star game since I was 9 years old, and my favorite player was Dave Parker. He threw out runners at third and home. Skeens is that type of player that will get young kids to become massive fans. Mark says the best All-Star games I remember were everyone with Dave Parker involved. They were all good. Cobra was the man in his day. I had to think back further about this, and there was one I left out. There was another All-Star game that I was over the moon to see. 1994. The All-Star game in Pittsburgh, Three River Stadium. I can't believe I left that out. I almost kind of got mad at myself for forgetting about it. That entire time going into that All-Star game was huge. The home run derby, Frank Thomas, Ken Griffey Jr., just swatting balls everywhere. People were going crazy. I remember watching that on TV. I was actually there in the stadium. They had a big showing of Angels in the Outfield. The Danny Glover, Tony Danza and Christopher Lloyd version of Angels in the Outfield. They showed it on the Jumbotron at Three River Stadium. They had a big red carpet event. They were driving the actors around on cars through the infield. It was a huge, huge event. And I was like 12 years old, but I remember thinking how crazy this was to be there to witness all that. So 94 was an All-Star game that stuck out for me too. But this is huge, man. We're going to see a Pirate pitcher at the absolute apex of the game, starting in an All-Star game. And he might face guys like Gunnar Henderson, Juan Soto, and Aaron Judge. And if we see a Pedro in 99-type performance, this is something we're going to look back on for the rest of our lives. I mentioned before the break that there was an announcement I had to make, and I wanted to get this out now because we're coming up on the end of the show, and when we come back in the next segment, we got to read some texts, man. We got to get a little crazy. It's time to get weird. But want to make a big announcement. July 25th, I will be right back here doing this show on July 25th, filling in for Joe again. So in about 2 weeks, I'll be back here Thursday, July 25th. That's the good news. the not so good news is July 25th will be my last show here at 93.7 The Fan. I'm going to try to get through this as best as I can. I've been offered an opportunity that was just so massive and so incredible and such an honor that I could not say no to. And it was something that really caught me off guard. It was something that really started with a what if. And it was a thread that I pulled at, and it turned into a massive opportunity that I just could not pass up. I've been given the opportunity to move over from the sports desk to the news desk at KDKA-TV. I'm still going to be anchoring sports here and there. Still helping out with that too, but I've gotten the opportunity to fill in on the news desk. Got a chance to audition, and our management was totally impressed and wanted me to have the opportunity. So my first time at the news desk will be next Tuesday on KDKA News with 4. I'll be there with Erica Mokay. I'm really excited about the opportunity. Little freaked out in a good way. I have been a sports anchor for the entirety of my on-air news TV career. So to do this is a big shift for me. It's the first time I've literally anchored news in 16 years since I was a student anchor at Duke TV. And that was an opportunity that Mike Clark gave me. And it was an honor then, just as a student TV news anchor. And it's a huge honor now. And I'm incredibly grateful to Sean Hoder, our news director. I'm incredibly grateful to Chris Catoon, our general manager. They're putting their faith in me. Our management, our producers are putting their faith in me. And I can't say enough how much of an honor it is to be able to have that opportunity. Granted, it's nothing full-time, it's nothing permanent, but there will be opportunities coming up here. Like I mentioned, my first show will be next Tuesday during KDK News at 4. And then the entire week of July 22nd through 26th, I'll be anchoring at 5, 6, and 11. So my last show here on July 25th, I'll be leaving here and running right downtown to go anchor at the news desk. So July 25th will be a crazy, crazy, ridiculous emotional day for me. But I wanted to tell you guys now because I wanted to make sure there was opportunity for me to say goodbye and have that time to do so, because not only has sports radio been a huge part of the last decade and a half of my career, it's been a huge part of my entire life. I was the kid that was in the back of the car while my dad was driving around listening to Myron Cope, listening to Thor Tolo, just listening to some of the better and greater sports radio hosts of our time. I remember driving around listening to Ellis Cannon in my early 20s and just remembering how things were. I still remember where I was the very first show on 93.7 The Fan. I can tell you where I was. I can tell you what I was doing. I can tell you where we were coming from. We're driving on the turnpike all night from New Jersey. My wife's best friend had gotten married. We drive back all night, coming back from New Jersey. And first thing's coming on Fan Morning Show with one of my mentors, John Burton, on the air for the first show on The Fan. I remember where I was. We're driving near Donegal on the PA Turnpike. The first time we hear 93.7 The Fan on the airways. It's things like that that I identify with at different points of my life. And then I got the opportunity to be here and be part of this almost 8 years ago. I still remember my first day. My first day was the day Pitt played Clemson in 2016. And they went on the road and beat Clemson in Death Valley. And I said Pitt had to do three things to beat Clemson. One, Matt Canada had to have a stellar game plan. Two, you had to see Nate Peterman have a Nate Peterman type game where he just got the ball to the right guy and stayed out of the way. And third, the defense had to come up with stops in big parts of the game. All three of those things happened. Pitt knocked off Clemson, and people went crazy on Twitter telling me that I pretty much saw it coming. And that was like the first like shot of adrenaline into my veins being at this place. And even before I worked here, one of the craziest moments of my career involved 93.7 The Fan. I was working as a sports anchor in Arkansas, and it was 3 months after I started there, and the infamous motorcycle crash with Bobby Petrino, who was the head coach of the University of Arkansas at the time, Well, a couple weeks later, he ends up getting fired because of the details in the circumstances of that motorcycle crash. And I remember Chris Mueller, who was hosting the late shift at the time, and he tweeted out, "Would love to hear what Josh Taylor has to say about this." I texted him immediately, "Dude, you need me on the show, I'm in." And I was actually already awake because I was pretty much doing wall-to-wall coverage about this firing of Bobby Petrino, and I was going to be on our morning show the next day at my news station, so I was already up, and Chris is like, "We'll get you a slot, we'll get you in." And the first time I was on the air here, I was being interviewed by Chris Mueller talking about Bobby Petrino's motorcycle wreck and how crazy that was. And that was kind of what started the ball rolling with me, and then I finally moved back to Pittsburgh. And as things shook out, I got a chance to start here in 2016. And for the last nearly 8 years, it has been a really insane ride. I got a chance going into 2018 or 2017. Rob Rossi was hosting on Sunday mornings when I first started out. And I came in and filled a 10-to-1 shift. And Rob at the time was doing 7-to-10. And he comes up to me after his show, like in between shows, he goes, "What do you think about Sunday mornings?" I said, "I don't know." I was like, "I don't know if I like getting up that early." He goes, "What would you think about 7 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday morning?" I'm like, "I don't know, Rob. That's saying a lot." And he said, "Well," now bear in mind, Rob and I had worked at a previous radio station together. I was actually Rob's producer. And Rob said, "Well, I'm about to turn in my 2 weeks notice, and I want to recommend you to take my spot early Sunday morning." I'm like, "Rob, are you sure?" He goes, "Yes, I'm positive. I know you're ready. I know your voice is needed here." And it was because of Rob Rossi's confidence and faith in me that what eventually became the Sunday Morning Grind was born. And it started out, I'll never forget this. It was just, I was like, "It's a 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning. Thanks for just grinding it out with us here early on a Sunday morning." And people jumped on Twitter, I'm out here grinding with Josh Taylor or 93.7 The Fan. And it just took life. And for a good 3.5 years, it was one of the highlights of my career, TV, radio, whatever. I had the time of my life every Sunday morning. And then the pandemic happened and things got shifted as far as schedules. Well, during that time period, during the pandemic, my son was born. And it changed everything with me as far as my availability. And I knew I needed to be around for my wife. I knew I needed to be around for my family. I knew it was just more important. And my priorities had changed at that point. And I know we're up against fan headlines. I know we're up against the break. So I'll try to keep this quick. But I knew my circumstances and priorities would have to change a bit. So after the pandemic, I had some time here to try to run at it again. And then eventually the call from home became too great. My daughter was born a couple years later. And I knew my time had to be spent elsewhere. I knew my priorities had changed. And Sunday mornings are still about what I love. But what I love has changed. It's about my family now. And it was about being there and being able to be present for my children's early moments. So things were shifting with me. And I got to say this publicly, shout out to Craig Riley. Craig tried his hardest to get me in here for shifts that fit because my TV responsibilities were changing. I had stuff going on at home, and Craig tried his damnedest to try to find ways and days to get me in here. And it's just, we just couldn't seem to find things that clicked. So the days I could get in, and last year I did Black and Gold post game after Steeler games, and I loved doing that show. And I really thought we had found a niche there. And I was getting really comfortable doing that. And then this opportunity lands in my lap. I was actually looking forward to maybe having that opportunity this upcoming season, but this opportunity lands in my lap and I just could not say no. But I am so grateful. I've worked with some amazing people. I've made friends here. I had friends here before I got here. I've made more since I've been here. I always had an attachment to the weekend producers, the guys that were the part-timers starting out, the Austin Bechtolds of the world. That's where I met Austin. I felt like I had a kinship with those guys because we were all kind of in this together. We were all kind of working this shift. We're all tired. We're exhausted. Let's get through this together and have a good time. And people that were listening, I could never be angry on a Sunday morning. Who's upset on a Sunday morning? Sunday morning is a great time to be happy. So I wanted to make sure that everybody had the experience that I had. I wanted everybody to have fun like I did. I wanted everybody to have a good mood on the Sunday, give you good stuff to talk about. Remember, we did That's What's Up. We always talked about something positive, either the week before or the week become, because I wanted to start your day on a good note. And I hope I was able to do that. And I got a lot of feedback and responses today where people were enjoying the show today. I hope I was able to do that today. I hope every time I was on, I was able to help make your day better, because when I listened to Sports Talk Radio, it made my day better. It always made things better for me and had an impact on my life. So I'm totally grateful to everybody here that's been a part of the ride. And I, like I said, I know we're up against the break, so I'm going to shut up soon. But I will be back here July 25th. That's going to be the last go around, and I'm going to get everything I had, just like I did today, just like I did on Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock in the morning, half exhausted. I'll give it everything I got again, and then once that's done, I'll see you over on the TV side. Matter of fact, I'll see you over on the TV side this evening, because I'm leaving here, and I'm anchoring sports over at KDKA, but thank you for those of you who wrote with me for the last 8 years. It's meant a lot, and I'm really excited about this next challenge. And it sucks to say goodbye, but it's something that has to happen. And I'm just grateful for every opportunity along the way. Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan. Josh Taylor in for Joe Starkey. We got a couple minutes left here, but we got to get a little weird. Austin has scoured the text line for some fun stuff. What you got for us, Austin?
Oh, yeah. Well, first and foremost, Josh, a lot of texters that are congratulating you on your move.
And, thank you, guys.
Just everything that's going to come next for you in the next coming weeks. Congratulations to you, Mr. Taylor. Your sports views and opinions will be missed, but looking forward to seeing you on the KDK News. Steve from Twitter, as one of the Sunday morning OG listeners, I'm extremely happy for you. Well deserved.
Shout out to the Grinders. I love you guys.
Dennis and Moon saying congrats. And George and Plum saying, you're going to be a great news anchor. Congrats.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. I wasn't expecting that. That's awesome.
Yeah, a lot of people that, you know, want to give you credit for that. And other people that are saying, we're talking about how important is this All-Star game for you to make sure you watch. And,
yes.
One guy says, this is Greg, not sure I've been more excited to see an All-Star game. For me, when Dave Parker was the All-Star game of MVP in 79 is the closest.
Yeah.
Showing my age. But
showing mine too, talking about 94, man. Don't feel bad. I get it.
Also thinks that Brian Reynolds is going to be a beast in the game.
I hope so. I want to see him get at least one at bat. I want to see him hit. It'd be nice to see him hit from both sides of the plate.
Zach and Latrobe, the last time I was excited for an All-Star game was when the game was here in Pittsburgh in 06, but hasn't really been that excited since.
Yeah, I forgot. 06 was good too, but 94 was so much different for me because it was my first time. So, yeah, but I can see why 06 was exciting. That makes sense.
Another text. The last time I was excited for the All-Star game was when Jason Bay was in the home run derby, run derby in which he hit zero home runs.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that. That was a rough day.
That was when it was just outs.
Yeah, it was just outs. Yeah. Oh, man. I forgot about that. That was a rough year for Jason Bay. Poor guy. But that's cool. That's crazy.
The texters brought it once again, and they congratulated you, which is well deserved, Josh.
Thank you on the text line, and thank you, Austin. This was fun, man. We'll do it again in a couple weeks. July 25th, we'll be back here to do it again. And like I just announced a couple minutes ago, it will be my last run here at 93.7 The Fan. But thank you, everybody, for reaching out. It's been a super emotional week, and it's been a super emotional day. But I was glad to come in here and do it again and have fun. I got to get out of the way because the PM team got to come in and do their thing. So I will see you guys in, 13 days?
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, fantasy football owners, the road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.